Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today I'm a good bit late, but if you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to take them and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're looking at verses 19 through 21 together. I'm going to go ahead and read the passage. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." This morning we're going to talk about how a Christian deals with doubts about their position in Christ. And actually, as I dig into this topic and thought about it this morning, I felt like maybe we should do it in several parts. So this is going to be the first of several discussions on this issue of how to deal with doubts as a Christian that you are truly saved and in Christ. And so let's give a little summary statement here, and then we'll dig into one of several truths we'll look at over the next couple of days. The summary statement for this passage is, the purpose of this passage is to help us, Christians, have a settled confidence before the Lord as we think about our position in Christ. God wants us to be people who are not just saved from our sins, forgiven, cleansed, God's child having a home in heaven when we die, but God wants us to live in this world with confidence that we're in that position. He wants us to be settled. He wants us to realize that we are God's children. We're not doubting that and troubled in our hearts about that. And so that's really what this section is about. It's about encouraging us that we can have confidence, that we should have confidence, that God wants us to have confidence. But I think when we get into this discussion, we also need to recognize that there are certain things that can diminish our confidence, that can attack our confidence. And so John wants us to understand that those things are there, and when we have those kinds of things attacking that confidence that we have that we're Christian, we need to think biblically about that. So this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin by talking about a very important concept, and that concept is, how does someone actually become a Christian? What is the basis that God looks at to say, you are my child? Does God look at our performance? Does God look at something that we do for Him? Does God look at something in us that merits God's favor and gives us that position? Does God look at the strength or the weakness of our faith, and on the basis of our faith determine whether or not we're saved? Well, the answer is, none of those things that I've mentioned this morning are the basis of our salvation. The basis of our salvation is one word, and that's the word grace. Now, when we talk about grace, we need to understand that grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. And we receive God's grace on the basis of the work of Christ. It's not what we do for God, it's what God did for us. And I want to give you an example of passages that emphasize that our salvation is based upon God's grace and the work of Christ, not our performance and what we do for God. Or not even how we feel at a moment, or how we do over a season of life. The first passage I'm going to mention is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, this is what the scriptures tell us. It says, "By grace ye are saved through faith." Now I want to pause and I want to emphasize those phrases, because each of those phrases are extremely important. First of all, we have the phrase, by grace. So the basis of our salvation is not actually our faith, or not something that we give to God, or not something that we do for God, but it's actually God's grace. In other words, the way that we become a Christian is entirely rooted in what God does for us, not what we do for Him. There's a reason why we call salvation a gift. There's a reason that we say salvation is free. So when God saves us, and God declares us righteous, and God forgives us, His declaration of righteousness, His forgiveness, is not focused on something in us, but it's something He did for us. Grace. Then we have the phrase, through faith. We need to understand that the means through which God gives us the benefits of the gospel are forgiveness, being declared righteous, being called God's children, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the new nature, regeneration. God gives us the benefits of the gospel through faith. So our faith is what connects us to the benefits of the gospel. It's not the basis of our salvation. He then goes on to say it this way. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So no person can stand before God with confidence and say, I know I'm a Christian based on the fact that they see things in themselves that earn or merit God's favor. Their confidence has to be ultimately, fundamentally rooted in something that's outside of them. That's the work of Christ and the gospel. So we talk about this issue of confidence. One of the things that I'm going to emphasize is we have what we call primary sources of confidence and secondary sources of confidence. Our primary source of confidence is in the fact that we understand the content of the gospel, we have believed on that content, and we are trusting in what Christ did for us. It is all of God's grace. And I want to talk about some of the benefits that come to us by grace through faith. One of those benefits is the benefit of forgiveness. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, he says it this way. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. In other words, when we are placed into Christ, God made us alive. He's talking about regeneration. So at the point of our conversion, when we were saved, we were regenerated, given new life in Christ. We believed in the gospel. We were placed into the Lord Jesus Christ in a position. He says, you were dead, now you're alive together with him. But then he goes beyond that. He says, you've been forgiven of all your trespasses. Now, when the scripture talks about being forgiven of all of our trespasses, he's not just talking about our past sins or our present sins, but he's actually talking about our future sins. And we're going to see that that's the case by the rest of the scripture. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which are contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Now, when we think about the cross, I want to ask you this question. Is the cross something that we're looking back to? Is it something we're looking at in the present? Or is it something that we're looking forward to in the future? Well, the reality is that the cross is something that's already taken place. In other words, the cross is what took care of my sins, past, present, and future, because that sacrifice was for somebody, me, who hadn't yet even been born yet. In other words, Christ's cross was taking care of our sin debt in full. And so we talk about the fact that we're in our position by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. We need to realize that when God forgave us judicially, he forgave us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. We then have a second concept that's extremely important, and that's the concept of justification. The word justify means to declare righteous. It's a legal term. And so we talk about forgiveness in Colossians chapter 2. We're talking about a legal forgiveness. When we talk about justification, we're talking about a legal declaration of not guilty, righteous. Here's what the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 25. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, Paul has laid out over several sections of the book of Romans that it is impossible for us to be declared righteous before God on the basis of our performance, on the basis of our works. And the reason for this is because as fallen creatures, we constantly sin. We are broken. We are unrighteous. When we put our lives beside God's law, we see that we fall short entirely. We don't even come close to measuring up to a standard of righteousness. And so Paul concludes that on the basis of God's righteous law, nobody can stand before God and say, I'm not guilty. Nobody can. God cannot declare us righteous on the basis of our performance because we are unrighteous entirely. It would be a miscarriage of justice. And so the question is, if we can't be declared righteous by keeping the law, then how can we be declared righteous? Well, it's by grace. And here's the explanation. He says, but now, because of what Christ did on the cross, but now the righteousness of God, this is not my righteousness, this is God's righteousness. He goes on to say, which is without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is not a new concept. This is something that is Old Testament, New Testament. This has been God's plan from the very beginning. When man sinned, God declared, I'm going to send a Redeemer. This was God's plan from the very beginning. He says it's the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And I love this phrase. It's unto all and upon all them that believe. In other words, this righteousness is available for anyone, but it's only applied to those who place their faith in the finished work of Christ. This righteousness is by God's grace. It's a gift. This righteousness comes to us at the moment we believe in the gospel. He then goes on to say it this way. We are justified freely, that means we don't pay for it, by His grace, that means it's undeserved, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, it wasn't our work, it's Christ's work that accomplished this work. And He says, whom God had set before to be the propitiation through faith in His blood. Propitiation means that God's wrath has been removed from us because Christ has paid in full the penalty for our sins. So when we talk about why a person should have confidence before God, his confidence should be rooted entirely in the work of Christ. And he receives this benefit as a gift by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And there's another aspect to this as well, and that's what we call regeneration. We're given new life in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says this, you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we talk about this issue of, should I have confidence before God, and I have doubts, and how do I deal with those doubts? We need to begin with this very important concept that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. As long as my confidence is rooted in the work of Christ, as I'm trusting in what He did for me, then there's no reason for me to have doubts. Even on my worst day, I need to remember that I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But as long as my focus is looking internally at myself and my performance, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to struggle. I'm going to have doubts. So what does the text in front of us tell us? Hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Why is that? Because we're saved by grace. He knoweth all things. What does He know? He knows that we are in Him through regeneration, justified, forgiven, cleansed because of His grace, and we've trusted in His Son. He says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. Why does He say that? Because He wants us to have confidence. We can have confidence. But it begins by reminding ourselves consistently of the fact that our salvation is by grace alone. We need to remember, let me give you some practical thoughts here. We need to remember it was grace that gave us the position. We didn't earn it. We didn't do something to get in that position. God did it for us. It's grace that gave us the position. It's grace that continues to keep us in that position. If we didn't get in the position by our works don't keep us in the position. It's the work of Christ entirely. We didn't earn it then. We don't earn it now. We didn't merit it then. We don't begin to merit it now. The reality is grace, 100%. And we need to remember that. Someone might say, well, I'm listening to this and I'm saying, huh, if it's all of grace, then what's the point of me living a holy life? Well, he's laid out very, very clearly that when a person becomes a believer, they trust in Christ's finished work, and they're regenerated, they receive a new nature, and they're pressed to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do follow His commands, imperfectly, of course, but they follow them. But the reason that we obey God is not because we're trying to earn His favor. It's because our nature's changed. And so when we talk about this issue of grace, we need to realize grace does not promote lawlessness, because grace comes with a new nature. And that's extremely important for us to remember. I want to remind you with one final verse before we close, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. This is what the scriptures say. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us again. That's regeneration. Unto a lively hope by what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the work of Christ, his death and resurrection, that gave us new life. He says it's to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is what we anticipate as God's people. But listen to how he closes this little section. He says, we are kept by the power of God. And so this is the encouragement that I have for you this morning as we think about the passage in front of us. How can we have confidence when doubts come? We need to be reminded that our position in Christ is based entirely in his work for us, not in our work for him. We didn't deserve it when we became Christians. We don't deserve it now. It's all of grace. It's a gift. I hope that this has been an encouragement to you this morning. If it has, I hope you'll share that. And I hope you'll consider sharing that this is a great gospel-centered focus. It may be that you're listening today and you've not understood that the gospel was a gift. Today you can trust Christ as your Savior. You can receive his gift of eternal life by depending alone on what he did for you on that cross. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to be reminded freshly of the fact that we are saved by grace, through faith in the finished work of Christ. I pray that this would be an encouragement to whoever is listening today, and I pray that you would use it in some way to accomplish your work in us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And Lord willing, next time I'll be a little bit more timely. Have a great day. Bye now.